material will be asked during the lesson.
Well, very, very close to today's lesson, about an hour and a half ago, I received a letter from a student who is so depressed, despaired, doesn't know what to do, feels powerless, no desire, no urge, no interest. And also, he says that in the world, which I don't know, he says, I have no power to live, no power to hold on. Had such states, but not like this. What's going on? Is this a physical state or a spiritual state? And I want to answer him now before. Before everyone, that this is a great gift, that a person feels that he is empty. When he wakes up in the morning and feels empty, it's the Creator, first of all. None else besides Him, it all comes from the Creator. The Creator wants him to go through a revision of who he is, what he is, what goal he wants to keep living for. If it is worthwhile living, then what for? And this feeling of emptiness, that the kli empties, it's the sign of a new kli. As we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that the kli does a coupling and is filled, and then it's emptied. There's an opposite process. How is it emptied? By the surrounding light pressuring it from outside, and the surrounding light that pressures the kli takes out of the kli all of the inner light, and the kli basically remains empty. There is no inner light that gives it light for today. There is no the light that was in it departed, and it has no present, no future. People in our world, if they have this kind of feeling, they just put an end to it. They commit suicide. For us, it's the opposite. We have to do the opposite. We have to be happy in that if there is no light for the present and no light for the future, it means that I am changing a degree. I'm standing in front of a new state, and the new state starts from complete zero. And so I need to only shut my eyes, not listen to anyone, nothing from outside. It's not worthwhile. I need to acquire my new degree, not to be impressed by anyone. This way, I should enter the 10 and enter the group and only integrate in them. Only integrate. Connection, connection, connection. Only that. No, not more than that. And as a result of the connection, new light will come and start fulfilling me. And then I'll see that I truly have a new degree, a new state, and I'm moving forward. Meaning, the fact that we start a new day, it's always like that. There will be evening and there will be morning, and it is one day. So the day, spiritual day, starts not from waking up, it starts from darkness. Starts from night, and then there's morning, and then there's day. So it's always from the night. Day one, day two, day three, we always count it from the night. So what he wrote, and I hope he's hearing me right now, this indicates help from above, that the Creator is giving him a sense of darkness, and the Creator says, there shall be evening. And then there shall be dawn, and then there is a new day. So let's get ourselves accustomed to waking up in the morning with a feeling of darkness. And waking up understanding, searching, investing, making great efforts. It may take a while before the lesson until I actually wake up and come to the lesson with a new strength. And then there's truly new day. All right, understood? Good. Let's have a workshop on this. How should we try to feel in the morning that it's a new day? Not to put ourselves artificially into the darkness, but to search, what am I missing, so that it will be as darkness for me, and now I go to the lesson in order to find the day. So what is night? What is day that I need to have now, today? Please. Sin by awakening the new light and connection between us. Rav, when I feel darkness in life and there's no present, no future, how does that become joy, becomes day, becomes illuminating? What am I missing? What else do I need to receive in order for this darkness to shine for me? So I'll be happy from having darkness, so that from the darkness it will seem to me as day, as light, as a new day. What do I need to add to the darkness? And the more I have helplessness and weakness, the more I have of these vessels, it can actually bring me more and more power of new light. What do I need to add? Please. Possible to... Rav, what is the difference between the light I would like to receive during the darkness and the light that appears to me in faith above reason? What's the difference between the light I would like to appear during the darkness, which is light of reason that I asked for, and the light that I now ask for to appear to me as light above reason, light of Bina, rather than that of Chokhmah, of Malchut? What's the difference between these two lights? Please.
Keta mispar 74, Rabash.
Again, 74, Rabash. Specifically those who want to achieve bestowal feel the emptiness within them and need the greatness of the Creator. And they can fill this emptiness specifically with exaltedness, called full of mitzvot, to the extent that they ask the Creator to give them the power to be able to go above reason, which is called exaltedness. In other words, they ask the Creator to give them power and exaltedness that is above reason, in greatness and importance of the Creator. They do not want the Creator to let them attain this, since they want to subjugate themselves with unconditional surrender. But they ask for help from the Creator, and to that extent, they can fill the empty space with mitzvot.
Moscow 1.
What force or strength a person can subjugate towards?
The Creator never gives. It's this is the order of the degrees. This is just a system. The Creator is ultimately the general system in which we exist, and we never receive from the system a burdening, a difficulty, a state that's worse than what we can overcome. It's exactly measured according to the order of the degrees from above downwards that have unfolded from the world of Ensof to this world. The person is always given what he can overcome. You don't hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
We're here.
אתם שמעתם את כל?
כן, שמענו.
Did you hear so far?
Yes.
So I want to say that a person is never given a state that he cannot overcome. Never. But he has no power, not enough support, not enough preparation. But that too is also taken into account from above, and he is given according to the preparation of what he did, unless he disregards the conditions he is given, and he doesn't prepare himself to the degree he needs to rise to, and then he needs to rise, and he's not rising, and he's falling, and that fall too is a correction. It's the revelation of his disease, and then it helps him awaken and shake himself and finally rise above that state. So we need to understand that from above, one is not given just some failure. It only happens in a correctly measured way. Such exercises that will make him a whole man and everyone, and that's with everyone.
Ну еще раз, но для того чтобы согласиться с состоянием, тоже нужна сила.
Betach.
Yeah, in order to agree with the state, you need some strength, a force.
Of course, we need to overcome the state. We're not going into some vagueness here. We need to connect all the data that we have in the group, in the study, and support in everything we have in order to advance. But we have it. The system itself creates the next state in a way that it takes into account all of the previous states, makes a calculation, and brings you something to execute for the next state. So it's impossible that if you saw the entire system around you, you would see that, yes, this is prepared for me and I'm capable of it. You just have to relate to it in a calm and measured way that leads to the purpose of creation, and that's what you need to do. The main thing is just to organize the whole system.
Potresti chiarire quello che è scritto qua nell'articolo dove dice chiedono al creatore di dare loro il
according to what's written in the article, it turns out that you're asking the creator to give us the force of rising above reason and greatness and importance of the creator, and then he says that they don't want the creator to let them reach it,
that the creator will not appear to them with his power but give them an opportunity to overcome the obstacles, but not by seeing that he is great, because then his greatness does the job. They want to do the job on their own, meaning without any support from him that will appear in their will to receive. You understand? Put it like this.
Yes, ish gadol.
There is an adult, and you want to do something, some work for him because you appreciate him as someone great. And he tells you, do this work for me, I give you $1,000,000. And you wanted to do this work, not because of $1,000,000, but because you respect him. You want to bring him contentment. So how do you do it? And he tells you, I'll give you $1,000,000. How do you face this dilemma now? The question is, are you doing it to receive $1,000,000, or because he is great and you want to do for him? So how will you do it for him? How are you certain that you'll do it for him and not in order to receive $1,000,000? You can't not receive. He's going to give it to you. But how are you doing the work not for $1,000,000, but because he is great, because you respect him? How will you do it? Explain to me. How are you going to move away from this temptation of $1,000,000? It stands before your eyes. That you want to do it for him, but $1,000,000 is a disturbance. If he was not showing you that, telling you that, you would just do it for him. You would overcome it in a simple way. He's great. You'd work on his greatness. But if you also have this great reward that fills up your whole vessels of reception, what are you going to do? You have an answer? You have a solution? I am in that state. I want to do everything for the Creator, for His greatness, because He is unique and all-bestowing, and I appreciate that quality. I want to be like Him. I want to resemble Him. I want to do everything in bestowal. But $1,000,000 is a problem, because my evil inclination sits there within and it wants $1,000,000. I can't disconnect from that. What do you do? Any solutions? So let's have a workshop. Maybe you'll find the solution.
אני עושה משהו למען הבורא.
How do I do something for the Creator? Because I respect him and not because he is giving this $1,000,000 to me. $1,000,000 or whatever it is, a compensation in all of my... one unit, and this conduit is so on the one hand I have $1,000,000, and it's always in front of me, attracting me. I can't disconnect from it. Even if I want to, I can't. On the other hand, I have an opportunity to do this work not for $1,000,000 or $1,000,000,000, but for the Creator, for the greatness of the Creator. How can I put this into the right order? I have a group. How do I use the group to determine that I shift from $1,000,000,000 to bringing contentment to the Creator? Can I do this in practice in front of me, or this is actually the solution? How do I do that? Question, please.
I want to hear the question again.
You didn't hear the question, I'll tell you then. On the one hand, I have work that I can do for the benefit of the Creator, who is great for me. I'll make him great in my eyes and I'll bring him contentment. On the other hand, I can do the same can do this work, because by that I receive $1 million. So, or $1 billion. So both come from the Creator. $1 billion or His greatness. How do I detach myself, tear myself apart from the $1 billion and shift myself to bringing contentment to the Creator for free, only to bring Him contentment? Why is it for free? Because I don't reveal Him, I don't discover Him. It's all in one direction in order to bestow. How can the group help me? I'm already giving you the solution. Just tell me, how do I put these things together? How does the group help me? Not work for the $1 billion, but for bringing contentment to the Creator, making a pure action of giving. I don't get something that can confuse me.
Rav, if I come to a connection with the group to such an extent that they can give me the strength to work only in order to bestow to them, and through them to the Creator, then it's a sign that the group is filling that kli of $1 billion. That's how I can measure, in a sense, the spiritual force of the group compared to the corporeal force of dollars. We have an ability inside a person to create these scales. How much this goes up, how much this goes up in importance versus how much this goes up in importance, we begin to acquire some connection between the spiritual world and corporeal world, spiritual values, corporeal values. Do we have such a thing in the group? Can I say that I can do it? How do we build this device in order to weigh spirituality in dollars? We will later need to do it and seriously in fulfillment, but in the same way. How do we build this device? Let's build these scales that work in this way. This is spiritual pleasure. This is corporeal pleasure. And how can the group create this line I can compare it to, connect it to? And so in the group, I connect the two worlds, this world and the spiritual world, the next world. How do we build these scales or these weights in the... pleasure? Rav, how those weights, those scales, were turning into a device for climbing the ladder, an instrument for climbing the ladder. How are we turning the instrument of the scales that weighs what's more, what's less, to an instrument that can take us up the steps? Deliver ourselves into the building of the group. Rav, what is in the middle of these scales, and in this direction and in that direction, but constantly stays fixed? What is that point? That the scales can tip towards money or the greatness of the Creator. Money or the greatness of the Creator, and that's how we climb. But what's happening in the middle? What's happening to us with that fixed point in the middle? That's a question. How are we building these scales that have the point of balance between them? What characterizes that point? Is that clear? Let's go. What's the question?
The question 94 is, why is it not possible to turn a kli for reception into a kli for bestowal, except here in this world and not in the upper worlds?
It's a question, how important is this world? So look how important it is, so why?
Answer 94, corruption and correction in the same carrier exist only in this world. Corruption and correction in the same carrier exist only in this world.
Both the will to receive and the will to bestow, they meet together only in this world. It cascades down from the world of Ein Sof in this way to one point in this world and in return from this point back to the world of Ein Sof. But only in this world is there contact between them. They can become, as I mentioned in the previous lesson, they can go from $1 billion to bestowing contentment because of the greatness of the Creator. The Kli can arrange itself by disconnecting from everything and connecting with everyone in the group. The Kli can do it only in a state called this world, Ha'olam Hazeh. This is called this world, Ha'olam Hazeh, where we can connect both opposites into one and to determine where we belong to, either to this or that, because in the human of this world, two systems connect. It's truly a miracle. What happened?
Yes, Rav, this mechanics, when we out of our world can make a correction in the vessels, can you elaborate on this more? How does this happen?
It's because in you there are desires to receive and desires to bestow. And through the group and the study and various actions in this world, you can awaken both sides. And it exists only in this world. It's only in, not in the still vegetative and animate of this world, but only in men. Men is included of the upper ones and the lower ones, a desire to receive and a desire to bestow. And that's why this poor guy is sometimes here, sometimes there. We don't know who is this person. Everything awakens in him seemingly accidentally. One time he's a good person, one time he's a bad person. And that's why he's able to connect these two worlds inside of him, the world of bestowal in the world of reception. He's got a portion of the Creator and a portion of the created being, and he can be in one time in this and one time in that. The correction is in our ability to move between including ourselves in the will to receive of this world, and another time including ourselves in the will to bestow of the upper world. It's like you're taking a piece of bread and or a cake, as Rabash writes, and you dip it in whiskey. And that's how you eat. You're eating the whiskey. So you can be one time bad, one time good. One time bad, one time good. That's why there's no righteous person in the world that has done good without sinning. If he didn't sin, how can he be righteous? A tzaddik, a righteous person, is the one who takes the bad things and transfers them to the good side.
This neutral point of the scale that you talked about, is that the point of restriction?
That's the point of the Creator. That is the point of the Creator. Belongs to nothing. It's above the two. Just like when you're holding the scales. It's scales. They're connected like that. You have to hands, and they're connected here on top, and you're holding it. This point is the creator, and you can play with the scales.
What is the principle that correction and corruption in one carrier only happens in this world?
Because a person is one time in this world to receive and one time in the world to bestow. In truth, the point of this world exists in all the worlds because we climb from this world to the world of Insof. And this point, the point of this world, constantly remains in us. And one time we are in order to bestow and receive, and one time in order to bestow. That's why the students of Rabbi Shimon wanted to kill one another, and after that they went into switched over to the end of correction. How? Because they were included of the point of this world, and then they climbed higher from this world to the world of itself. That's how the corrections happen.
I would expect that the creator is inside the tent because he appears inside the tent. So how do you say that he's in the middle and the right line of the right side of the scales?
The creator dwells both in the vessels of reception and the vessels of bestowal. To the extent we can balance them and use them in order to bestow. The intention to bestow dwells in the middle.
Rava, בן אדם שנמצא בהשגה רוחנית, הוא עדיין רוצה את המיליון דולר האלה?
אדוני, if a person in spiritual attainment still wants the million dollars?
Sir, he who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. As you climb up the spiritual degrees, you're given such temptations. They don't give them to beginners, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
The creator is seemingly making fun of you. You're a great one. You're there up in Atzilut. It gives you such desires. These desires are called klipot, shells. And then you fall into them, which is, it's unbelievable how suddenly certain foolish, lowly, despicable desires grab a person and turn him into a rag. Just wait.
It means that even though you feel the upper world, the attainment and the pleasure from spirituality, still this pleasure rises
it's written, don't believe yourself until the day you die. Until your will to receive, all of it dies. Meaning you rose above it and you're determined that it is dead, entirely dead in your eyes. Then don't believe in yourself. And the greater will to receive can come, and the Creator does everything. And then it drops you, it humiliates you more than before. Just as beginner students are starting to overcome certain nonsense, tiny nonsense, that kind of tiny nonsense a great Kabbalist can't overcome because he is given to see that in his degree.
To explain more about this meaning of the will to receive and the will to bestow in this world.
In one carrier, one person, that's what's happening. That these two things happen in one person who is one time in this and one time in that. Where does he write about it?
Well, he writes in many places about the two opposites in a single carrier.
Two opposites in one carrier, and only in this person who's integrated of both. Yeah, you have that.
I understand. I'm talking about the approach, Rob. We say that there's no reason to get confused and try to connect things from this reality to the reality of the upper world. Right? And only from the upper one, the lower one will learn. So how is there a connection between the things now?
I don't know what you're saying in the picture you're drawing there. What is the lower world? Right now, are we also in spirituality or only in corporeality? If you define spirituality in order to bestow, then we don't have it. But in the system, we are in the general system. Everything is included in the one system.
I thought that only in a person who enters spirituality, these two systems connect. And you said that in this world, these two systems connect.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling this world. If a person is not in the spiritual process, he's not in this world. It's also called this world, but it's only in my name. It's a state that doesn't even belong to spirituality. He's before all his attitudes towards spirituality.
French.
לא שומעים אתכם.
לא שומעים.
Quand on parle,
we don't hear you.
Bonjour, Rav. Comment notre dizaine peut-elle maintenir l'équilibre de la balance et ne pas aller vers les extrémités?
How does the ten, how can a ten keep the balance of the scales and not fall to one of the edges?
By yearning towards the center of the ten and connect there together. Both.
Okay. Therefore, we need a person in this world that he inherits the vessels of the other side in the empty space. And then he rises and connects with the building of sanctity by the merit of Torah and Mitzvot to bring contentment to his Maker. And he transforms the greatness of reception that he acquired so that it's arranged in him only in order to bestow, and by that he equalizes the form to his Maker and the intention takes place in him. And this is the reality, the secret of the reality of time in this world. And you find that first, the two opposites were separated into two opposite things, meaning the sanctity and the other side. As it is said, this against that. And that's where the correction did not happen to them yet, because they have to happen in a single carrier, which is man. And therefore, we necessarily need the reality of times. So then the two opposites come into the person one after the other, meaning in the time of Katnut and in the time of Gadlut. This is from the introduction to Panim Yerot Umasbirot, item 12.
And the second one?
The second one, this is from Baal HaSulam's letter 51. The whole difficulty in serving him is that in the worshipper there are always two opposites in the same carrier, that his uniqueness is simple, but must clothe in man's body, which consists of a body and a soul, which are two opposites. Therefore, in any spiritual concept that one attains, two opposite forms are immediately created in him. One form on the part of the body and one form on the part of the soul. By nature, a person cannot scrutinize the body and the soul as two carriers. Rather, he is composed by the Creator as one, meaning one carrier. For this reason, spiritual attainment is as difficult for him as two opposites that cannot properly clothe in one carrier. It is similar to the binding of Isaac, when the Creator said to Abraham, "For in Isaac shall a seed be called to you." And the Creator said to him, "And offer him there for a burnt offering." From the perspective of the Creator, it is as was written, "I, the Lord, do not change." But in the perception of the receiver, they are opposites.
Yeah, the receiver is both from the will to receive and from the will to bestow. So in the will to bestow, this is eternity, wholeness. In Isaac, you shall have a seed. And in the will to receive, here's the opposite. Kill him. Sacrifice him. The receiver is in such a split where he cannot connect it to. And that's how it is in all the degrees. Each degree, it's a split and wholeness, split and wholeness. What can you do? This is our path. It is difficult, but...
It determined. So the question is, why are there here in the laws that we existed in this system, why is there something that extends the law, that goes beyond the law, that there is something that can be good or bad, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's working not in a clear way as it should be in nature. But it's as if there's this white spot here where things can be this way, that way, and there are doubts, bad, good, who knows what. Why is it built like that? It's unclear. And we learn that the Creator created it on purpose, creating this unknown spot, blurry white spot. It's unknown, and we exist in it. It is so that we would want, with all the means at our disposal that He gave us, so that we, by ourselves, will build the conditions, the country, the society, the world, the galaxy, the way He would should have created, but left it for us. He left it for us. So we have to learn what qualities He gave us, what qualities He didn't give us. And precisely by the qualities He didn't give us and did give us, by them we will be able to look for what the Creator means, what he wants. What's missing in order to complement creation instead of Him, where we complete creation. And in this way, we can come to a state where the Creator begins creation and we complement and complete creation. And by this, we attain completely His desire, His ability, the forces that operate, the system that needs to, in short, everything. But it's interesting how He made it. A part of creation emerged and a part didn't. And it emerged in such a way that we can use all the parts that He designed for us and said, use it, in order to make creation and complete it in the most solid, complete, internal way. This is what we have to do. And that complementing, hashlama, from that comes the word shalom, peace. Shalom, peace, or completeness, is the name of the Creator. It comes from the word hashlama, completion. This is why this article is titled by this name. And therefore, in our world specifically, we are operated not by forces that are clear to us. There is the still vegetative and animate. In them, everything runs by instincts. Everything is clear. There are no questions. There is bad, there is good, this way, that way. But we have something in between. It's unclear what's good, what's bad, what's, it's not this, it's not that. This is why we are in constant doubt, questions, uncertainty, and blurriness. And this is what Baal HaSulam wants to explain to us in this article, Peace in the World. So, Mr. Niv, please.
Practical difficulties in determining the truth. When we discuss the attributes in theory, there is certainly no better attribute than the attribute of truth. This is because all the good that we have defined above in the relationship between the individual and the collective is when the individual gives and fully plays his part towards the collective, and also takes his share from the collective justly and honestly. All this is but truth. But the drawback is that in fact, the collective does not accept this attribute at all. Thus, the practical difficulty in the above-mentioned truth is proven from itself. There is some drawback and a cause here that makes it unacceptable to the collective. We must examine what is that drawback.
Let's think how good it would be if everything were clear. He writes elsewhere. If I ate something that was bad, I would choke. If I did something good, I would succeed in front of everyone, more than everyone. But we don't understand in advance what is good and what is bad. So I don't know what to do. It's a wonder. Why am I not like plants or like animals? I know I should run away from this and move toward that. Animals don't need laboratories to check if something is good or bad, like food. It's enough for them to sniff it or maybe taste it. Plants know what's bad for them and what's not, when to close up, when to open themselves. Man knows nothing. He is born in this way, he lives in this way, where he doesn't understand and doesn't know anything. He needs constant support from other people, from the environment, and he himself, even when he is a grown-up, he is in constant doubt. He doesn't know where to go. We see it on people. Among us too, there are people who came and suddenly they leave and they come back again and they don't know what to do. We are in between several forces. There is no one force operating in us, and we know that this is how we should work, how we should go mindlessly. Well, I want to be like a soldier, to get up and do nature's commands, and I don't have a choice, and I do them. No, it's not like that. We have to constantly be in doubt and grow wiser all the time, and that way advance. So, this is why he says that the drawback is that this quality is not accepted by the collective, the quality of truth. Thus, the practical difficulty in the above-mentioned truth is proven from itself. There is some drawback and a cause here that makes it unacceptable to the collective. We must examine what is that drawback. Why can't we accept, can't we receive the quality of truth? And
when you closely examine the above-mentioned truth from the perspective of its practical feasibility, you will necessarily find it vague and complicated, and it is impossible for the human eye to scrutinize it, since the truth requires that we equalize all the individuals in the collective, so they receive their share according to their labor, no more and no less. This is the one true basis which cannot be doubted. For it is certain that anyone who wishes to enjoy the labor of his friend, his acts are against the above-mentioned reason and the clear truth.
In other words, if we speak truthfully, everyone should be equal, everyone should be kind of in one line, following everything like ants. We don't know exactly what happens inside their structures, their nests, but that's how we are. No one looks at ants, how much they work, how much they don't. It's just irrevocable, inexorable instincts. Everyone does what he should do, and no one looks at the other. It's a very clear example how the society should work if it is to work according to the truth. I don't see any questions. I guess it's clear. Next.
But how do we think that we can scrutinize that truth in a way that is acceptable to the collective? For example, if we evaluate something according to the apparent labor, meaning according to the number of hours, and compel each one to work an equal number of hours, we will still not discover the attribute of truth at all.
In other words, if we start pressing the collective and manage it equally from above, that too would not be good. If then this necessity to give everything I can, if it doesn't come from within and it's in me, this necessity, then from above, they can't pressure me this way because none of us is equal to the others. For example, Neve is smarter than I am, right? So it'll be easier for him to do some jobs. I'm stronger than him, so to me it would be easier to do other jobs. And a third person is quicker. He does things very quickly, and me, by the time I understand, by the time I do it, It takes time. So no one is the same as others, and therefore we can't demand from above the same productivity from each one. Go on.
Moreover, there is an evident lie here for two reasons. The first is the physical side, and the second is the mental side of the worker. That is, because by nature the power to work is not equal in each and every person. One person in society labors in 1 hour of work, due to his weakness, much more than another who works 2 hours or more. And there's also a psychological matter here. Since he who is very lazy by nature exhausts himself in 1 hour more than his friend in 2 hours or more, according to the perspective of the evident truth, we should not compel one part of society to labor more than the other part for the satisfaction of the needs of their lives. But in truth, the naturally strong and nimble in society benefit from the labor of others and exploit them maliciously against their attribute of truth, for they labor very little compared to the weak and lazy in society. And if we also consider the natural law, taking after the majority, then such a truth that takes the number of hours of apparent work as a basis is completely infeasible, since the weak and lazy are always the vast majority in society. And they will not allow the nimble and strong minority to exploit their strength and labor.
What do you say about this? This is exactly your territory.
Exactly. I'm going crazy from this part. 3 hours and look what he says. It's weird. How can we scrutinize this truth in a way that it's accepted? Who's hearing us? I'm talking all day. You have no idea. My tent's talking. I'm talking. You're talking. You're disseminating everything. Nobody, they listen, but it goes in one ear and goes out the other. And you're saying that the Creator started creation and we have to complete creation. It sounds impossible.
I don't know. Again, here we are, you and I are disputed. I'm saying that although I see everything in front of me the way it is, I have to do whatever work I am given. The Creator gave me work. He said, take this. And I have to take it and do it and not ask. But the reward is that He gave me work. That's the reward. And I don't ask when it will be over. I have to rather check what I do only from the perspective of how best to do my job. I don't ask anything beyond that. Otherwise, it won't be in order to bestow.
When will it end? I'm telling myself, when can we start seeing signs?
I don't want to see signs. It would be a reward.
Signs are a reward?
Yes, of course. You bet. I don't want to see a reward. I want to get up the same way in the morning for 1,000 more years without having anything, not even an ounce, and just have 1 ounce of desire from which I begin to develop my correct desire and approach to the new day.
On the other hand, we want the world to be good. We want people to start learning something.
Correct. This is why I get up. Yeah. Tell your guys about this.
You're saying I should come in the morning, do my work in front of the people. Like yesterday, participate with 4,000 people, and in the end, not to want anything. I just want to come and sit and connect.
You want to do the desire of the Upper One. You want to do the desire of the Upper One. You want to observe it. Why is it not enough for you?
What is the Upper One's desire?
The desire of the Upper One is for you to work in order to bestow without asking why, like an ant. Like an ant.
So like you're saying in the morning in the workshop, you said, guys, you come here, you're giving up on the $1 billion, we don't want anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So what? You could ask, how? You're given a chance. You go into the tent, and there you acquire the power to relinquish the $1 billion. And not just in order to take pride in the eyes of others, but you work in the society and you draw reform and light, which will give you such greatness of the Creator that will be greater than $1 billion. To bestow upon the Creator will be worth more.
According to what you're saying, it can really be attained to give up on the $1 billion.
If you were given a 10, without the creation of the soul and breaking of the souls, then you can't do it. But once you have the soul and the breaking, you can do it. This is why Rabbi Akiva was so happy that the first temple and second temple were ruined, meaning both in light of Chokhmah and in light of Chasadim, everything broke. Now we have a way to build it.
Look, the question now is when we see the end of this.
You don't need to see the end. I want to get up this way and infinite to the end of days, infinite number of years of days, just like that. Every day I want to start from zero to infinite greatness of the Creator and nothing else.
Without correcting the world.
This is the correction. What other correction do you want?
Вот подскажите, вы сейчас сказали в примере про муравьев, вообще про животный мир, так видится, что...
You were saying, for instance, ants and the living degree. It seems that all animals are living in pleasantness. And it's like the Creator left humans and expecting us to bump into one another and in some way we'll find this method and we'll go out towards Him.
Right, now you said it correctly. It depends on Him. Therefore, each and every one, at the time when he should, he finds the method and begins to work according to this method, as it happened with you, for example. Yeah? It's the same for everyone.
What about the other 8 billion?
It's not time yet. It's not time yet. The corruption hasn't fully materialized. But you see, it will happen. And everyone will wake up, as Balasulam writes in his prophecy. This little one will be great. And they will all rise. And they will all reach that same recognition and awareness of the greatness of the Creator like everyone. They shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. This is what we're beginning to build now. The system, we, you, I, everyone, we have to pull all of humanity to the Creator and bring everyone to Him so that we will all embrace Him and unite with Him without any differences between us and Him.
То есть все-таки мы ждем этого великого состояния, когда все придут. А то вы сейчас вот...
So we're expecting this huge state that everybody is?
We're not waiting, we're doing it. It depends on you and me, on us.
Беседа.
Okay. No, we can't make mistakes. We're just continuing the way Balasulam and Rabash write to go as we go. And even though it seems to you like you're making a mistake, you're not making a mistake. In retrospect, you will see that the Creator made you make this mistake because by your mistake, you also corrected something, revealed something that was broken. And that's how it happened. How it happens. Don't worry. If we go together, the Creator watches over each and every one of us and over the whole system and reveals to us each day a little more and a little more how we should advance. I feel it on myself that I'm not doing what I want, but it is dictated to me from above, and that's how I work. That's what I do. I get up, I come to the lesson, and I have nothing of myself. I feel that this is how I am being directed, and that's it. And I am just obligated. Moscow 6. You say we have to start from scratch each time. How can you begin from scratch if you didn't have anything to begin with? From where do I have a Creator? Rav. Ideally, you should get up in the morning and see that you have nothing. Not the Creator, not the wisdom of Kabbalah, not the group. Why did I get up? The alarm clock went off. What do I need to do? Why do I need to do it? What do I get out of it? How come? What am I going crazy? What's happening here? We begin to a new degree begins from zero. Zero, you know, it's the opposite. We have to fall from where we were. So your zero is not the zero of a person who just came and started learning. Your zero is far lower. And that's how it'll be each time. It's okay. You'll get used to it, and you will see that precisely in this way you correct creation. PT 33. So this whole thing of competition that forces you to develop according to your environment, how does it work if you're only working towards yourself according to your ability? Where is that thing that develops? Where is the environment that pushes you to extend your personal abilities?
The environment is also in the hands of the Creator. Everything is. We just have to try and subdue ourselves.
We are reading in page 146 in Peace in the World. Thus you find that the attribute of truth has no practical ability to organize the path of the individual and the path of the collective in an absolute and satisfactory manner. Also, it is completely insufficient for organizing life at the end of... Thus you find that the attribute of truth has no practical ability to organize the path of the individual and the path of the collective in an absolute and satisfactory manner. Also, it is completely insufficient for organizing life at the end of the correction of the world.
Where are you? I can't find you.
I started with, thus you see that the above-mentioned basis...
Did we get it here?
Now we can go back.
No. If you read it, so let's keep going. Yeah?
Okay, page 146, paragraph furthermore. Furthermore, there are even greater difficulties here because there is no clearer truth than nature itself. And it is natural that each and every individual feels himself in the world of the Creator as a sole ruler, that all the others were created only to ease and improve his life without feeling any obligation whatsoever to give anything in return.
This is how the world to receive dictates that the whole world came to serve me, otherwise what do they exist for?
In simple words, we will say that the nature of each and every person is to exploit the lives of all other people in the world for his own benefit. And all that he gives to another is only out of necessity. Even then, there is exploitation of others in it. But it is done cunningly, so his friend would not notice and concede willingly.
That even when we bestow good to one another, still we want to exploit the others with that. Yeah.
The reason for this is that the nature of every branch is close to its root. Because man's soul extends from the Creator, who is one and unique, and everything is his. Likewise, man, who extends from him, feels that all the people in the world should be under his own governance and for his own private benefit. This is an unbreakable law.
Meaning, where do I get this feeling that I'm special from, that I'm even an individual in the world and the rest are below me? That comes from the Creator. that feeling. And the fact that I think like that and look at everybody in such a way, that's my internal point. It's a divine part from above. Because the Creator is above all creation, that same part of the Creator that's in me puts me above all humans in such a way, in all of creation. There are a lot of questions from here. What should we do with it? Is it good? Is it bad? Should I do something about it? Maybe that's the only point in me from the Creator. Yeah.
The only difference in people is in people's choices. One chooses to exploit people by obtaining lowly lusts, and one by obtaining governance, while the third by obtaining respect. Furthermore, if one could do it without much effort, he would agree to exploit the world with all three together: wealth, governance, and respect. However, he is forced to choose according to his possibilities and capabilities. This law can be called the law of singularity in man's heart. No person escapes it. Rather, each and every one takes his share in that law. The great according to his size, and the small according to his size. Thus, the above law of singularity in the nature of every person is neither condemned nor praised, as it is a natural reality and has a right to exist like all parts of reality. And there is no hope to eradicate it from the world or even slightly blur its form, just as there is no hope to eradicate the entire human race from Earth. Therefore, we will not be lying at all if we said about this law that it is the absolute truth. Since it is undoubtedly so, how can we even try to ease one's mind by promising him equality with all the people in the collective? Nothing is further from human nature than this. While one's sole inclination is to soar higher above the whole collective. Thus, we have thoroughly clarified that there is no real possibility to bring good and joyful conducts to the life of the individual and the life of the collective by following the attribute of truth in a way that it will ease the mind of each and every individual, so he may completely agree to it as it should be at the end of correction.
I really hope that you will read this in every opportunity you have. Read it a few more times, this part of this article of the Peace in the World. There is a lot of material here that we need to take it and stretch it and pull it in all directions and speak about it a lot. We'll answer a few questions now as much time as we have left, but just understand that it's all... It won't satisfy you, because here it's really more about the inner work. A person has to think more and more, or discuss it in the 10 and workshops between you. Then you'll have, it'll be a lot more clear, and you'll be able to understand this a lot better. These are things that we need to scrutinize, not the teacher with the students, but between the friends and more. Africa.
Thank you, Rav. Rav, our question is about the law of singularity in man's heart that Bala Sulam just talked about. Our question is, how does a person convert this law of singularity in his heart towards the state of the whole world was created for me.
Well, that's what we will have to learn. Now, we still didn't solve this problem. He just explained that that same Creator who created us actually gave each one an obstacle that we can't connect to one another. Because in each and every one, there's a part of the Creator, a special part of the Creator. That's why each one can't accept the other one, that we can't connect with one another, because we're all contradicting one another. And the whole system, if it can exist correctly, so it has to exist as if only one force is activating it, like in the still vegetative and animate. And then there's no problem. Then it doesn't make mistakes. You can't say that a beast makes mistakes. But on a man, you can say that he constantly makes mistakes. And every time he learns a bit from it, but it's not nothing for its next step. The next step, he falls again and makes another mistake. And again, meaning what he did in the past, he corrected it by falling and rising, falling and getting up. But for the next time, he has to fall again and get up again. It's written about that 1,000 times a righteous will fall and get up. So if so, how can we, that were billions, that fall and rise again and again, how can we connect between us in such a system, such a reality that is whole? How can you even ask about such a thing, about an ability, about an opportunity? There is no such thing. That is actually our state. You understand as much as success is impossible. Everything was sold in advance. What will be? That's what you're asking about? So I have hope that we will read this later. That by the quality of the truth, you can't rule the world because we don't have that truth. Everyone has his own truth, and it contradicts the truth of everyone else. And how we have to connect, that nature is pressing on us to connect. So how can we not harm each other and maybe change ourselves so that we can connect with one another and complete one another to such an extent that we will connect and be in love to one another, that each one will serve the others, and so on. Here is where we still have to check, how do we build such a system from the Creator, from nature? This doesn't come. On the contrary, it's all a mess. We are in a state where each one can only kill the others and has no attitude towards the other, but only as an enemy. How can we, instead of this, reach a state that we love each other, that each one is willing to die for the other, to connect to such a state that we complete each other? That we still need to see how the Creator prepared such a correction. That we start to implement it, we start understanding as much as these things are huge, completely.
Moscow 7.
Moscow 7.
Hoy en día podemos decir que el poder.
Hello, we have two questions.
Y las personas aspiran a asemejarse a ellos.
Today, politicians have the power, and the public wants to be a part of them. In the future, will Kabbalists rule, or will Kabbalists direct?
In the future, the whole nation will be in control, will be the leaders, because they'll feel that only the upper force, that the nation as a group invites the Creator to be revealed in them, that's how the nation will be in control. In short, the Creator will be in control under the conditions that the lower ones invite him to rule over all, that he will be the king. Okay? That's what we'll do.
Yes.
Okay. Y la pregunta es si somos, si no somos todos iguales en el esfuerzo que hacemos, algunos más fuertes, otros más inteligentes, al final, todos se van a corregir a través siendo cabalistas o su pequeño grupo va a ser cabalista.
But not everyone has the same forces and ability. So we won't be required to do the same efforts or works. So will everyone have to go through the path and become Kabbalists?
In somewhat, yes, but not in a way like we are, because we have to know the whole system and include it on and pull the Creator in there and organize it so it'll be like 110. That's us, called Yashalkel, Israel. But the rest will join into us. And on them, the same forces of the Creator will be in control of the law of equality, of equivalence of form, of bestowal, of love, that will control everybody. But they won't need to implement it in such a way like we. They'll go in there and do it. It'll be easier. Because they can't, according to the rule of their soul, do difficult work like we can. It all depends on each one's root of their soul. But in the end, the Creator covers all and fills all and expands in all equally.
Да, дорогой,
вот,
Салам написал, судя по всему, эту статью для самой широкой аудитории, правильно? Не для там своих
учеников. Father Salam probably wrote this for the general public, not for his close disciples, right?
Let's say so.
Вот у нас, как вот у ваших учеников,
so I have a question.
Эту статью как-то передать.
Among your students, what obligation do your students have to convey, to explain it to the world?
We will learn this whole article. We'll speak about it, how we can process this to the general public. Obviously, this is not enough. Here he's speaking in a very concrete way. And for the general public, you have to mix it up with a lot and divide it into many little portions. And then to learn how to give it to them. You have little kids?
Yes,
I do.
Do you put, shove like a big spoon in their mouth, or like you do to yourself, or a little teaspoon, a bit more, and a bit more, and a bit more?
They're grown ups already.
You remember how it used to be. This is how you have to give it to the public, just like that.
Хорошо. А если говорить про нашу работу в десятке, то как мы можем вот это свойство истины?
I'm talking about our work in the ten. How can we use the quality of truth in our work?
In the group, everybody's equal. Everybody can give as much as they can and support in their forces as much as possible. And the Creator, and according to that, will fill us. And